Today's episode of the Sidious Mac Podcast on the Sidious Mac Podcast Network is brought to you by Backline Running. Shout out to the listeners who've been picking up their merch and supporting the sponsors that help put on this show. If you're not familiar yet, Backline is a Brooklyn-based active lifestyle and sportswear company. They're a family-owned small business that draws inspiration in all of their products from the intersection of art, sports, and street culture. If you go to their site, backline.nyc, you can see their shirts, singlets, sweaters, joggers, and more. In addition to their work as a company that's engaging with its customers and creating products with major attention to detail, care, and sustainable environmental practices, later on in this episode, I'll share with you how Backline is giving back to the running community through the Backline Community Fund. Every month, Backline will take 10% of online sales to a handful of partners like WeCoach, the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, Run for All Women, and more. You can contribute to those retail sales and snag a discount. Sidious Mac podcast listeners can use promo code Sidious at checkout for 15% off all of their products. T-shirts, hoodies, joggers, jackets, more. They've got it all. Check them out today at backline.nyc and use code Sidious to support them and the running community at large. My guest for today's episode is Obsa Ali. He is a 2018 NCAA Outdoor Steeplechase champion out of the University of Minnesota. And I wanted to get him on the show because last Friday, the University of Minnesota's Board of Regents voted to approve a resolution to eliminate the men's indoor track and field team, the men's tennis team, and the men's gymnastics team at the end of the 2021 school year. A revised proposal was submitted on Friday that removed men's outdoor track from the cuts that were first announced in September. The university said the athletic department was facing a projected revenue loss of approximately $75 million. And what do these cuts end up saving? An approximate $1.6 million, which alums and others have already been able to fundraise independently. So Obsa was in the room when the decision was made. I wanted to get his account of that day, his feelings, and where the fight goes on from here. So without further ado, here is Obsa Ali. Last Friday, long day at the Board of Regents meeting. You got to sit in the room where it happened, pretty much. Take us through sort of like that whole entire day and what transpired from the moment you got into the room all the way until this decision that was looming, and they saved it for the last thing. So I watched the live stream for a part of it, and I was like, this thing has taken forever.
Yeah, my coach texted me, Coach Plaz asked me if I could come, so I went over. And, you know, when I first got there, I was one of the last few people to get there. And you can just tell everybody, like everybody had their legs just moving. Everybody was nervous. You know, you could tell everybody in that room was nervous, you know. And then I got in there and, you know, I felt like I got infected with that nervousness. I just felt my leg twitching and I was like moving, you know, just almost sweating, just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. So, you know, I feel like everybody was the same way that were also watching it online on YouTube. So yeah, it felt like a marathon, right? For like 2 hour long nervousness for the entire time. And you know, the crazy part was I had no idea that they were even planning on to save the outdoor track until like 12:15 or 12:30. One of the persons came up to me. I forget who it was. They were like, did you hear the new proposal? I was like, what new proposal? They said they might try to keep outdoors and keep, still, you know, get rid of indoors. I was like, that makes no sense. So I, that was my first time hearing it, like, right, you know, 40 minutes before the decision was being made on. So, I didn't think it was the right time for even the regents to, you know, go ahead and vote on that.
You've had a couple of days now to kind of just process the decision that went down. Sort of, what was your immediate reaction, and has it changed in the last like 3 or 4 days?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say my immediate reaction was still like this makes no sense, right? It's still a loss because, you know, nobody in their right mind would come to that university. Nobody's gonna come there and sit out indoors and just, you know, race outdoors. For an athletic director who wants to be competitive in the Big Ten, as he said it himself, just by cutting indoors and keeping outdoors, that made no sense to me. A few days later, still, it's it makes zero sense. I'm sure everybody's on the same page about that. I don't know how he was able to come up with that and justify it, that, you know, we can just cut indoors and keep outdoors. And we would still have cross country as well. So that, you know, I don't know how he justified that. And, you know, the $1.6 million that he's saying is just not enough for that decision.
Yeah, and it's crazy because, like, when you think about the success that you guys have had indoors, it was like, what was it, 20 All-Americans, like, last year?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even under Plaz, I'm like, we've won multiple Big Tens back-to-back-to-back for, like, 3 years. And it's not like this is just, you know, oh, it's just indoor. Like, we have a history of actually being one of the most competitive schools in the Big Ten when it comes to indoor track and field. So, it's I don't know, man.
It's sort of like, as an alum of the school, now you find yourself just with, like, the weirdest sort of recruiting pitch, like, for someone. Like, put us in your shoes. How are you trying to now sell the University of Minnesota to a high school senior? But it's that whole point where it's like, you're going to run cross country, you're going to take the indoor season off, or you're going to run, like, unattached, and then after that we'll have, like, a full outdoor season. It's got to be the weirdest thing to try and conceptualize for someone.
You know, I try to put myself in that shoes, right? If I was coming out of high school and I had an opportunity to run for the University of Minnesota, what would I, you know, what would my thought process be if I was, you know, being recruited by them? The answer would be no, right? I'm not willing to sit out indoors and watching my competitors run fast times and, you know, and compete. The reason I want to go to that level is because I want to compete at the highest level at every chance that I get, right? So for me to sit out indoors and watch my competitors compete and put out times and just, you know, twirl my thumbs and wait for outdoors, that's not something I'm willing to do. So I would not blame anybody, any prospects who, you know, who don't want to come there. And it's obvious, like, this is going to hurt the recruiting a lot. I mean, we live in Minnesota. It's pretty cold here, so we need indoors.
Can you put us in sort of your own shoes as someone who, you know, came to this country in 2007 and then grew up in Minnesota? What was it like, I guess, when that opportunity did present itself to run for the University of Minnesota, being that, you know, you were coming from an immigrant, you know, Ethiopian family, and this is totally different?
It was perfect for me because, you know, like, my mom here is by herself. So, like, for me, being close to her was, like, the, you know, what the deciding factor of where I was going to go for school. So the fact that I had that opportunity, and it was, you know, one of the best schools and, you know, very great program, it was a no-brainer, right? And for people who are in the same shoes as me, it's going to put them in a very hard situation. And at the end of the day, and, you know, depending on, like, how competitive you want to be, it's going to be hard to sit out indoors. And that's why I think, you know, we have a chance. I mean, you know, right now we're just sitting back trying to, like, just, you know, decompose from all the past few weeks that we've been trying to get this, you know, get going. But, you know, I think, you know, we will fight and try to do it with what we can to try to get that indoor reinstated as well. It's going to be hard. It's good. I feel like this is a plan again that they're doing to, you know, in the future, cut even outdoors because they're not competitive. It's just like a premeditated plan putting forth.
What has struck you the most of sort of that conversation that about the diversity and what this is going to do for the program going forward? Because, you know, Hassan Mead has spoken out pretty clearly. He's like, it really hurts to see this happen because someone like me isn't going to have the opportunity that presented itself years ago.
I've said this a couple of times. You know, my introduction to the university was through Hassan Mead when I was watching him at the Olympic trials in 2012. And to see somebody who is like me, you know, having that opportunity close to home was like, you know, it was like a lightning, you know, it just changed everything. And it said, I can be that person, you know. And, you know, I wanted to go there, and I met Plaz. You know, he told me, you know, what Hassan has done, you know, how he got Hassan from where he was to where he is now. And, you know, I fell in love with the university and the city. And I'm sure there's somebody out there looking up to, you know, people like me, even people like Hassan and Haroon, Goner, you know, because, you know, this is a pretty huge East African community. And, you know, a lot of East Africans don't play either basketball or football, right? So this is like their way of, you know, getting that opportunity at that highest level. And it's just the fact that it's being taken away. They knew, I feel like one of the reasons they were able to bring back the outdoor track was they knew the, you know, the amount of damage that this would cause. But still, like, we also need the indoors as well because we want to be equal.
Ben Blankenship was very fired up from what it seemed like on his Instagram post. And like, angry is kind of like what the sense that I got, where he sort of, you know, he made a hard cut where it was like, I am no longer like proud to like associate myself with like the University of Minnesota as as an alum, but, or as an institution. You know, he's proud of what the coaches and his teammates and what they were able to do to help the program. But are your feelings just as harsh right now toward the university, or like, how are you feeling?
You know, I would say about the same, because, you know, a lot of people that, you know, ended up going to the university, or like, you know, people when they want to compete for school, I feel like either one of their relatives or like their fathers or something, they already have a tie to the university, right? And for me, I was a first generation student, and I have no ties to the university, and my only tie was through that team. So if that's being taken away, I have no way of connecting to the university. So that's my way of getting connected to university. So once that's being taken away, I have no connection with the university. So like, it'll be hard to like proudly say this is my university, because what I went to the university for is not there anymore. So it's hard. So I totally understand Ben's point there.
A quick break to hear from our sponsor, Backline. Like I mentioned in the intro, investing and finding a way to give back to your community has never been more important than now. Backline is making that commitment with the Backline Community Fund. To learn more about the company's desire to make an impact with local and national organizations, I spoke with co-founder Matthew Vosberg.
Investing in our community is not just, I think, viewed as an option by us. It's imperative. It's something that we as a small business and as local members of the community have to do and should do. We've always believed it's been an incredibly important part of, you know, our business model, but ensuring that people know that when they're engaging with us and interacting with us, that they know our values, and they know that we not only do we support those through our designs, many of which are inspired by our values, whether that's, you know, the persist design, limitless, features female runners, you cannot defeat New York. You know, these are all designs that, you know, evoke a certain mentality about what you support and why you support it. Putting your actual resources to promoting those initiatives, promoting these organizations is absolutely essential. And so we formalize that into the Community Fund program, where 10% of all of our, you know, online sales ultimately will go to a different organization that we promote, you know, each month. And we think that's just going to be a great way to solidify, you know, our commitment to all of these different causes that are really important to us, and we think important to our followers. The first ones were organizations that we worked with for quite some time that included Run for All Women, Sports Bar Project, We Coach. This really aligns to the promotion of female athletes in the sport. But we also feel like promoting local organizations is equally as important. So Robin Hood, the South Brooklyn Mutual Aid, you know, HBCSU outside, that, you know, these are organizations that are also local and have that impact. So it's not only about focusing on how do we support the running community, it's also about how do we support the community in which we live, work, and operate. And if you're not doing that, I don't think you're being a good a steward in your own environment, right? It starts there, and that's, you know, I don't think we could call ourselves a socially conscious business without focusing on our own backyard.
Speak with actions. Learn more about the Backline Community Fund and their efforts. Check out all of their products at backline.nyc. And for City Smack podcast listeners, contributing to those sales, you get 15% off at checkout when you use promo code Sidious. Backline.nyc. What has been the early talk so far about what happens next?
The people who are in charge of this, you know, this movement, one thing that Dev said was just relax for now, just, you know, recoup, and, you know, we'll do everything we can to try to get that indoor reinstated as well, because that's very, very important.
Yeah, because it doesn't seem like raising the money, like you guys have raised, I think, $1.7 million. So it's like the 1.6 that was like cited, which like, was that you guys laughing in that clip when, when Coyle said what the total was?
Yeah, everybody in that room was like, 1.6? Are you serious? I mean, like, not only us, the gymnasts, the tennis, like, they have the funds. Everybody wants to compete. Everybody wants an opportunity. But for one, to take that opportunity away and, you know, break all these kids' heart and dreams for $1.6 is just, you know, $1.6 million is not, you know, it's not very, it's what an athletic director should be doing. And, you know, along those lines, what really was also surprising to me and kind of hurt me, I'm not even a student, like I don't even go there anymore, was when one of the regents was, he was talking about something along the lines, like, we can't ride, you know, we can't ride whatever on hopes and dreams or whatever along those lines. And I can't remember exactly what he said, but that really, that I was in there very, very, very angry at that, because everybody at that university had, you know, even himself, he didn't become a regent because, you know, because he wanted to be a regent. He had a dream. He had a hope of becoming a regent. You know, he had to work towards that goal, and, you know, he had to have a dream to get there. You know, you have a dream, you work towards it, you get there, right? He understands. But what he said was just so insensitive. I even felt hurt by his words when he said that. So I can't imagine how, you know, the student athletes are feeling.
That was the guy who was struggling to like keep his mask on. I think I remember that from like the broadcast. It's hard to take him seriously in that case.
He kept saying, I'm speaking fact. There's no facts.
In a way, sort of off of that, it is kind of hard to realize what putting yourself in AD Coyle's shoes is like, because, you know, he's sort of trying everything that he can, where it's like, you know, from private fundraising and throwing that idea to trimming roster sizes, and to that region's point where, you know, you can't financially fuel this team off of hopes and dreams.
Hopes and dreams, yep, yep.
So it's like, have you had the opportunity to talk to AD Coyle? Because I know he sort of like put his contact information out there for the student athletes, and like, what is it that you would propose to him directly?
You know, I spoke with Mark Coyle back in September. There was a Zoom meeting, and I just wanted to hear his perspective, and you know, like, how did he come to this conclusion, right? So like, you know, I wanted to hear about how are we against Title IX, or how are we against, you know, or, you know, what the money problem, right? And I listened to him talk about that as well. And it still was not enough for me, because if you want to speak on Title IX, when I came there, my freshman year, the year after, so 2015, they started, like, it was an outside group that came in and did a whole investigation. It took up until 2018. And that's how we got actually the brand new track. And that's how they were able to pay for, you know, we just got a brand new indoor facility for track and field. So like, Title IX is out of the question for sure. Everybody knows that, because if Title IX was an issue, it would have been addressed like a year and a half ago. So, you know, he kept writing that, you know, and when you ask him about the financial aspect of it as well, and he knows this is a temporary problem, and it's not only the University of Minnesota going through this, you know, financial hardship. It's just a temporary solution. I mean, it's a temporary problem for like a very permanent solution. So, I mean, I want to say I understand where he's coming from. I still don't understand where he's coming from, because it's not, you know, if that's why you're an athletic director, right? You're supposed to get everybody out of these very hard times. But, you know, I feel like he took the easy way out.
What's the, because of that Title IX sort of discussion that has been floated out, there's also been sort of a little bit of a rise in concern from the women's team, because they anticipate, you know, if you cut some men's spots, then you might also have to get rid of some women's team spots. Is that concern still there?
At this point, yeah, you never know, you know. And the thing about, you know, that administration is that everything is so last minute. So if I was a woman on the team, I'd be very concerned, because historically speaking, since he's overtaken that university, the numbers of even the women on the cross country and track team has gone down drastically. So when they're cutting the men's track, it's a no-brainer.
It's also kind of crazy that this is happening like from an outside perspective at a Big Ten school and a program that, you know, Gary Wilson was like a coach for and like very prominent. You guys host like these indoor races from time to time. Like we think Gabe Grenwald, we think Heather Kampf, like just from over the years, like this is a very rich historical program. So it's like, there's going to be people out there probably listening to this who run for, you know, mid-major schools. And there has to be sort of that little level of concern. It's like, if this happened at a Big Ten school, then like, that's, you know, it's going to be a major domino to fall at other schools to come. So what would you sort of say to those people who have that, you know, that little, those nerves right now?
I would, you know, I'd just, you know, if I were a coach or even a student athlete, I would, you know, go to the athletic director, because any student athlete can go to the athletic director and talk to, you know, if he's a good AD, right? So, you know, I would ask the athletic director to be as transparent as possible with their coaches as well as their athletes, because you know, that's the only way to lead as a good leader is, you know, to show them what, you know, what it's looking like, and if it's looking like in the future that, you know, we might have to cut, you know, a team or two or whatever, and there could be an alternative, and we did show that, and we're not like, you know, the people who are in charge of this, like, you know, aren't even like athletic directors. They have no background in athletic business, but they were able to come up with all that money. They were able to come up with those pledges and say, hey, look, we just want to compete, and we are able, you know, we are willing to put in the work and get this, because we just want the kids to have a chance, right? So I hope, you know, the athletic directors are listening to people, you know, who are trying to get creative and who are trying to raise money from all the different parts. So yeah, I just ask the athletic directors to be as transparent as possible.
In one of your Instagram posts, I think you mentioned that like these decisions were being made by people who didn't understand or know what it's like to be a Gopher. What does it mean to you to be a Gopher?
To me, to be a Gopher, it's so hard to explain, because like, it's a for life thing, right? They, you know, one of the mantra we live by at the U is like, once you put on the M, it never comes off, right? And we also get this M pins even after you go on and graduate and get a job. You always have that M pin on you, whether that's on your tie or like dress shirt, or whatever you're working, like you're always gonna have that on you. So I really believe that, you know, like once you become a Gopher, that's for life thing, and you know, it just draws you in. Even with the Minneapolis, like I know a lot of people who even moved out of Minneapolis, they still come back. It just draws you in. And the family that we had at, you know, on the track team was very, very special to me. The people I was able to meet, you know, the opportunity that was given to me, like I don't think it's something that you actually understand until you are a part of that family. You know, whether that's being on football teams, you know, baseball team or track team, I'm sure, you know, each team has their tradition. But to me, like, it meant the world to me to be a Gopher. You know, that's something that I'll never take for granted. So when, you know, people are willing to just overlook that and cut programs, it hurts, because most likely Mark Coyle is probably not going to be working there forever. You know, as soon as another opportunity presents itself, he'll get out of there in no time. And, you know, he's hurt so many kids and so many alumni, you know, but that's sad.
I know track, just because of the numbers, makes sort of like the most noise when it comes to these programs getting cut, but What did you take from seeing, you know, the tennis players and the gymnasts and their sort of reactions to what's going on? Because, you know, you guys maybe cross paths from time to time in like the athletic facilities, but you know, it really sucks that, you know, they didn't have any sort of, you know, little part of a victory in this whole entire thing.
Right. Yeah. When I was walking out of that regents room, you know, I just saw like the tennis players and the gymnasts just, you know, most of them were crying, and you know, I can't say I know what that feels like, because like I said, the fact that, you know, outdoor was saved, I still have some hope that we can bring back indoors. But it's hard for me to put myself in their shoes because, man, it was a dark day for them, for us too, but at least we saved something, right? Even though it's still a loss. But for them, the fact that, you know, their program is gone forever, and within seven people decided that, I can never put myself in that shoes. I don't know.
You probably would have been in tears too if you know the outdoor program got cut. So what was sort of like you walking out of your room? Is it just like a little state of shock, or like were you speechless? What was going on?
I was confused, actually. I didn't know what to feel. I was like, okay, we still have a track team, but we don't have indoors. So I didn't know how to feel. I still don't know how to feel. So like that's why it's not making any sense to me, because it feels like a high school thing, right? In high school, if you don't have indoors, it's okay. But in college, like indoor and outdoor, even though it's, you know, considered different sports, it's still the same sport. You still are with the same people and you still train the same way. So when I walking out of there, I was very confused. I was like, I don't know how to feel right now, because we didn't lose everything. But then again, we actually kind of did lose something. So I didn't know how to feel.
Touching on some of the highlights from your time at Minnesota, I'm going to ask you, what is the proudest moment you have? Is it as easy as me just guessing and saying, you know, the 3K NCAA title?
You know, yeah, I would say the 3K, very the special steeple, moment. Yeah, steeplechase, that. And then when we went to Nationals 2015 for the cross team, that was, you know, NCAAs was nice, you know, but like the fact that I experienced, you know, what it feels to be like at a national level with your teammates when everybody had the same goal. And, you know, it's just like my second year in college, and I ran with Charlie this morning. Actually, we were talking about that, and that was a very, very special moment to me and for Coach Plaz and everybody. I just remember, you know, waiting at regionals just to see if we qualified, and then we qualified, and then just the trip to nationals, and you know how it brought everybody actually so much closer going forward from, you know, from that national meet.
How did you sort of like put it all together as a guy who thrived in cross and in the steeplechase? Those two don't always go hand in hand.
Right. The steeplechase was like an accident that I just stumbled upon. Coaches asked me if I wanted to like do some, because we always do this hurdle drills. So I just, you know, started doing that. He saw my flexibility, and I just, you know, I'd always work with them, but I never actually raced. So I'd always work like my freshman year, sophomore year, and a little bit of junior year. I was, you know, I was doing everything that steeplechase guys were doing, but I wasn't doing any hurdling over water or anything like that, but I'd still do whatever they were doing. And finally, coach was like, "We'll just give it a go this year because we might need some points at Big Tens," and that's how it came about.
And then you end up winning the NCAA title. From there, sort of like it's been fairly recent, and you turn professional. You sign with Flint Sports, and then I believe now you're with ASICS, right?
Yep, with ASICS right now. Yep.
And so, what were sort of like, it's only been a year so far, but that first pro season, what did you make of it?
This year has been very weird. You know, trying to get as much races as possible, and, you know, trying to get those COVID tests before races. You know, at first we didn't even think there was going to be a race. So it's been very, very weird first year turning pro, but, you know, we've still been working with Plaz. I've still been in Minneapolis training here. I was fortunate enough to get a race in down in California, and then got a race in Iowa as well. And then I know I've ran more miles this year than I have my entire career. So I've been racing a lot of miles. So that's something good that me and Plaz said, just going forward for next year.
Yeah, is the plan steeple next year?
Yeah, still steeple. Been working on a lot of like harder work with our former coach, who used to coach steeple, like high hurdles actually. So I've been working with him. So that's been really nice this year.
Yeah, so how do you approach that for next year when you have to kind of go a whole entire year right now without actually like racing the steeple? Because I haven't heard of any sort of steeplechase race going down here in the States.
Yeah, there has not been any steeplechase. But, you know, I've been doing a lot of like steeple work over, you know, on the track. And I've been, at first it was hard to get on the track to try to do like water jumps and stuff. But towards the end of the summer, we were able to get, you know, get some water jumps in. So, I mean, the steeplechase, it all comes down to how fit you are at the end of the day. It helps to have the forms down and stuff, but like fitness is number one thing.
What about like the last month or so since sort of like this the announcement happens that they're going to cut the programs? What is it? Has that taken any sort of mental toll on you, or just like added stress when it comes to working out, having to also, you know, not in a way worry, but it just like that's your team that's getting cut.
Right. Yeah. So even like I had a workout, you know. We found the news out, and then the next day I was meeting Plaz for a workout, and it was my worst workout of the year. Surprise! I was like, I don't know what happened, but you know, I've been having great workouts leading up to it, and for some reason I just felt flat. And but you know, after that I just picked myself up and said, man, I was fortunate enough that I had that opportunity. You know, that I still have this opportunity to, you know, to represent, you know, my school and my sponsors, and do this as a job. So, you know, and that's because, you know, I was presented with that opportunity at the University of Minnesota. So, it has motivated me, you know, to try to do everything like in my power to try to get that, you know, save this program, because, you know, at the end of the day, if a track and field team, like you said, is being cut at a Big Ten level, like a university like the University of Minnesota, it's not going to stop there, right? It's only a matter of time till, you know, other ADs are going to start looking at it, because this is the easy way out, you know. And so if we stop this here, it'll stop here. But if not, I'm afraid, you know, this won't be the last time that we'll be fighting for track and field.
All right, I'll hit you with the final questions that I sort of ask every guest. These are more off the wall, so here we go. First one is, what's the funniest drug testing story that you've got?
So my sophomore year in college, we always do drug testing. So I got there at 6 a.m., but I peed before I got there, so I couldn't pee when I got there. So I waited for like 3 hours just drinking. For some reason, I could not pee. And the guy that was doing the test for me was he opened the sink water and started cheering me on. It was so weird. Like, he was like, yeah, you could do it, come on. I was like, bro, this is not what I need right now.
That's the first time I'm hearing someone like actually like trying to help you out and cheering you on. Usually it's just like it's all up to you.
Yeah, all right. But this was at a college level, so
yeah. Meanest thing you've read about yourself on letsrun.com?
You know, I have not been on Let's Run since probably high school. And somebody said I looked like I was 90, or like not 90, but I read somebody like, this guy's not in high school when I was in high school. Like, this guy should be like a junior or something in college. I was like, oh, this is going to be my last time on this site. So I haven't been back on Let's Run.
If you could go on a run anywhere in the world with anyone from history, assuming they could hold a nice conversational pace with you, they don't have to be a runner, they don't have to be real, where would the run take place and who would it be with?
That's a hard one. If you know, I would say Kenenisa Bekele, right? Somewhere in Ethiopia, because that's where I'm from, that's where he's from. and probably whatever his favorite route is. I just want to hear, like, you know, his story about how was he able to do everything that he's done? Like, it's always so mind blowing to me that he was dominating, you know, at that level at that time.
If I told you a year ago, like, that he wouldn't have any world records, would you believe me?
No. I never thought the 5K or the 10K record would ever go down.
Yeah, they're absolutely ridiculous. And it's funny because, like, as a pro runner, here's something I kind of want to pick your brain about. It's like, do you sort of, like, look at it as sort of tiers where it's like, yes, I'm a pro runner, but then that's the next level up is like Joshua Chapter guy. That's a superstar level. It's like, I'm not there yet.
I obviously, yes. there's few tiers, right? Like that's just God level. And then there's us. So his worst day is probably like my best day.
Yeah, definitely. Final question has nothing to do with running. If you get 25 shots from half court on a regulation size basketball court, you make one, you win $25 million. If you don't make any, you'll go to jail for 25 years. Would you attempt the shots?
I'm taking my chance.
Do you have a basketball background?
I don't, but I'm taking my chances with that. $25 million?
Or 25 years in jail. Oh.
And I get 25 shots?
25 shots, yeah.
I'll take my chances.
Wow, that's bold. Well, I appreciate you taking the time for this. This is good to catch up. And yeah, I mean, to you and the Gophers, keep up the good fight.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Chris. I appreciate you a lot.
Thanks to Opsa for sharing his feelings and his commitment to saving Minnesota track. You can keep up with all the efforts to save Minnesota track on Instagram by following @SaveGopherTF. On their page, you can find links to resources like petitions and accounts from alums about why this fight is so important. No one likes seeing a program getting cut. I don't think it has to be this way. Many thanks to our sponsor, Backline. Pick up one of their shirts or sweaters since it's getting chilly out. Wanted to give a quick shout out to listener Ellie Pell for sharing a photo of her rocking a Could Be Faster tank, and listener Abby Bussey for following my lead and getting one of those Futures Female Coaches shirts as a gift. Check out all of their designs at backline.nyc and use code SIDIOUS for 15% off. If you enjoyed this episode and want to shout us out in your Instagram stories, just tag Sidious Mag and I'll be sure to repost it. I'm always grateful for anyone who takes the extra second to leave a little 5-star review on Apple Podcasts with what they like about the show. It keeps me motivated and taking the extra hours of the week to keep this show going. Wouldn't do it without the support of you guys, the listeners. That's all I've got. I've been your host, Chris Chavez, wishing you some happy and healthy running. Legs are feeling good. See you guys next week.